In the first year of Darius, reading in verse 1 of chapter 9 of the book of Daniel, in the first year of Darius, the son of help me out, somebody pronounce it for me, David. Ahasuerus. Yeah. Yes, you have Xerxes is what a modern translation says. Of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. So he's given us some chronological background. It's the first year of his reign. I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from the precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, or humility, or shame of faces, as at this day to the men of Judea and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to all of Israel that are near and those that are far off, through all the countries, whether thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belong confusion or shame of face or humiliation, to our kings and our princes, our fathers. Why? Because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his ways, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured out upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us great evil, or perhaps your Bible says calamity. For under the whole of heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all evil has come upon us. Yet we made not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil, brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord, our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, have gotten thee renown. As to this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes. Behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name, for we Do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken. Do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Lord God, help us to see what Daniel sees and to learn what we need to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. It would be so easy to read a prayer like that, to read a prayer like that and have such a desire to take that prayer and move it to the year 2016 and apply it to America. Oh, that we could do that. And I'm telling you, there are preachers all across the United States that are very comfortable taking that prayer and picking it up and applying it in America to today. But we can't do that. I said, we cannot do that. Tom, we can't do that. Why? Why not? It's a great prayer. Amen. It's amazing. It's awesome. And we're going to learn a lot about God in this prayer. And we learn a lot about us in this prayer. But we're not there. We're not there. This is not us. This is not us. And praise God, it's not us. Praise God. Praise God, it's not us. We're not begging God to forgive. If you're a sister in the new covenant, you don't have to beg God to forgive. You've already been declared righteous. He sees you in Christ's righteousness. In fact, I'm going to try my very best tonight through teaching this text to show you that out of this text is the clear need for the gospel. That this very text, Brian, shows me how much I need the gospel. That this very text shows me how much I need a new covenant. Because clearly, the Mosaic covenant didn't work. Daniel is praying under the Mosaic covenant. He's not under the new covenant. He's under the Sinai covenant. He's under the law. And he mentions the law of Moses in his prayer, doesn't he? And he says, we are violators of the law of Moses. And he's begging God to take the curse and remove it and pour his face down upon them. And I want to remind you tonight, you don't have to do that. You don't have to beg God to shine his face upon you. You don't have to plead with him to show grace to you, that you have already become a recipient of that grace in the new covenant. If you'll go ahead and look a little bit further in your text, I stopped reading because that was the end of the prayer. But I want you to see that I am interpreting this in its appropriate context. Verse 26. Oh, let me back it up a little bit. Let me find. Here, reconciliation. Yes, 24. We'll get to this in the next couple of weeks, and this will be some pretty deep stuff. Not tonight, but when we get to the 70 weeks, we're going to have to take some time. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and thy holy city to, notice, please, number one, finish the transgression, and number two, to make an end of sins, and number three, to make reconciliation for iniquity. And number four, to bring in, what does it say? Everlasting righteousness. Praise the Lord for everlasting righteousness. Praise God. Praise God that righteousness has been applied to me. I'm not sure who this king is. The identity of Darius is a major problem in correlating the biblical material with extra-biblical records of this period. Most scholars treat the reference as a mistaken allusion to Darius. Others have maintained instead that it is Gubru, As in like Subaru, only it's Gubaru. Still others understood the reference to be the Persian King Cyrus. Hey, it doesn't matter to me. I believe the word of God. That's what I do. I believe the word of God. And the fact that we can't line it up with extra biblical material doesn't change one bit about Daniel's prayer right here at all. So he says, I was reading the book of Jeremiah. So let's turn back to Jeremiah 29. This is what I was reading, he says. I was reading Jeremiah 29. Now, he doesn't say 29 because there were no chapters in his Bible at that time. Look at all those names. Whoa. You see him, David? My goodness. Now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of elders which were carried away of captives, and to the priests and the prophets and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. So let's just assume that there's a few people in our audience tonight that don't know where we're at chronologically. So let's pause for just a minute and remind ourselves that we had Saul, and then we had King David, and then after King David, we had Solomon. And then what happens next? The kingdom divides. You should know this. 722, the Assyrians destroy the northern kingdom, Israel, and carry them off into exile all over the world. They're virtually intermingled, 10 tribes, leaving Judah and Benjamin still in Jerusalem, holding fast until when? Thank you, 586. Very good. In 586, the Babylonians, under the leadership of King Nebuchadnezzar, come in and utterly destroy Jerusalem. Destroy it. The sanctuary, the city, the walls. I mean, desecrate it. And part of the carrying off into captivity is Daniel. And now Jeremiah, a prophet of the captivity, is writing this letter as a prophet of God to the people that are scattered, who are wondering, how long is this going to last? And here's some instructions for them. Verse 4. Thus the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, and all that are carried away captive, from whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Here's some instructions for you, and they are good instructions. Build ye houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons, give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may increase there and not diminish. Have children, get married. Seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captive. Pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof you shall have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you cause you to be dreamed. For they prosper, they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all nations, from all places, whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Daniel was reading those words, obviously in Hebrew. And he began to understand that they were drawing near to the end. Most estimate that Daniel would have been around 80 years old when he was reading this. So this is the era called the captivity. It's 70 years in length and it's coming to an end. Daniel sets his face to the Lord God to seek by prayer, supplications, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And he's going to give us a series of attributes and dispositions of God towards Israel. I'll give them to you all, and then we'll look at them one verse at a time. He's great and awesome, or dreadful, or terrible. He's faithful to keep his covenant. He's righteous in all he does. He's compassionate and forgiving. He is sovereign over evil. He is powerful. He is angry towards sin, raging anger towards sin. And finally, he is merciful. That's our God. Now, out of those attributes or disposition comes the gospel. The gospel. I want you to see this. I want you to see how the gospel comes out of that. It comes out of that. How so? Give me one example. Looking at that, how can you see the gospel coming out of that? All right, what's the gospel allude to? I want you to grab an attribute tonight. I'm asking you to think. Because I know it's a Sunday night and we're tired. I want you to think, how do I see the gospel coming out of any of those attributes? All right, he's merciful. He's merciful. And so now he's able to forgive sins through that. Another one. He's just. He's sovereign over evil. Faithful to keep his covenant. He's righteous. All right. What does righteous have to do with the gospel?
Something has to be made right in order for a person to not be under the condemnation or under the judgment.
Something has to be made right to not be under the condemnation. So his righteousness demanding to deal with sin forces sin to be dealt with. If he doesn't deal with sin, then he's not just. He's not righteous. So he deals with sin through Jesus. How about his anger? Walter, I was expecting you to chime in on his anger based on what I know to be true about you in the Bible studies. How does God's anger towards sin result in gospel? Yeah, the wrath of God poured out on Christ. That's why this is not my prayer. This is not my prayer. The wrath that God intended for my sin has already been poured out on Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, that's uber awesome. I don't have Daniel's relationship with God. I'm not under the Sinai covenant. I'm not under the Mosaic covenants. We're not. And then the humanity. What do we see about humanity? That we sin and do wrong, that we rebel, that we ignore God's leaders, that we behave unfaithfully, that we have not obeyed. See, this all drives to the new covenant. And what do we care about this for? We think all the time, if we can just get the right politicians in office who will, let me finish please, pass the right laws, life will be better. Now we think all the time, if we can just get the right politician in office who will pass the right laws, life will get better. Wait a minute. God chose a people. God did. God chose a people. These are my people. And then God gave them the best law that could ever be given. Right? God did. Not them passing their own laws. God gave them, Florence, the very best. This is the best law that could ever be written. And it's for you. Right? And then God delivered his people out of bondage into their own land. Their own land. So in their own land, God gave them the best law that could ever be given and said, you're my special people. And God drove out and God blessed and did it work? No. Daniel's entire prayer is a reflection of the fact that it didn't work. We received your prophets and we rebelled. We got your law and we rebelled. We were your people in your land with your tabernacle, with your temple, with your presence. We had it all. And it didn't work. So what am I to take out of this in the year 2017? Laws do not make a difference. Now, are they necessary? Yes, in a fallen world, they are absolutely necessary. But if we want to impact morality, we've got to get to the heart. Got to get to the heart. One more law in a Baptist church about dressing this way or listening to this or not doing this, it won't work. We got to have colossal heart change under the what? The new covenant. The gospel. You need a new heart. The problem's not with the law, the problem's with your heart. You have a heart that is bent to do all those things, to sin, to do wrong, to rebel, to ignore God's leaders, to behave unfaithfully and not obey. And so what really needs to happen is we need a new heart. We got to get a circumcision going on here of the heart. We, as God's people, should not be surprised when unsaved people act the way they do. Of course. I'm not surprised. And when we act that way, it needs to be a giant check engine light. Huge. Because if your heart has been changed, like we believe it has, because you're now God's son or daughter, adopted into the family of God, we shouldn't be too struggling with this. Our New Testament tells us that His laws are not grievous to us. They're not grievous to us. Worship me. I love to. Pray to me. When? Now. Do what I want you to do. Of course. Right? Why? I'm a new heart. I've been changed. I'm different. He calls Him the great and awesome, dreadful, terrible God. So how do I reconcile great and dreadful God with Abba Father? What's the difference? I'm not under the old covenant. I can draw near, right? Why? Because I've been adopted into the family of God. I don't go before Him afraid, terrified. He's my daddy. Why? Because I'm in the new covenant. See, do you understand how being in the new covenant affects how you interpret the scripture? Yes, you understand why Daniel prayed the way he did, because he was not in the new covenant. But you're in the new covenant, so you learn that God is dreadful and God is awesome and God is terrible, especially if you're outside the covenant. Right? But when you're in the family, it's my daddy you're talking about. He cares about me. He knows me by name. He knows the tears that fall from my face. That's not the impression you get from Daniel. Why? Because Daniel is not in the new covenant. Keeping covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. Does God still keep covenant with people based on love and obedience? Not an eternal covenant. Thanks, Dick. We have to be very clear here. How many of you are thankful for the fact that God's mercy is not conditional upon your obedience? See the difference? Do we love? Yes, we love. Out of what? A new heart. Out of a new heart. Out of a new heart. Can I believe and not love? I don't think so. Can I love and not obey? I don't think so. No, this is an outworking. Love is an outworking of my faith. Obedience is an outworking of my love. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't give teenagers a laundry list of rules anymore. We say you need Jesus. Love Jesus. Embrace Jesus. Get in the new covenant. Get out from underneath the law and get into the new covenant. Those of us that are 40 or 50 and have been involved in independent Baptist fundamentalism for the last 40 years, surely we see that rules did not work. It didn't work. Heart, Jonathan, heart. Heart changes. Heart. Daniel's prayer and the gospel and the new covenant all come together. We've sinned, we've committed iniquity, we've done wickedly, we've rebelled, even departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. That's the condition of the unbeliever. We want them to see themselves in that condition to show their need for Christ. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, thy prophets, and spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to thee, but unto us confusion of face, or shame of face, or humiliation, as at this day to the men of Judea, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, unto all of Israel scattered everywhere, those that are near and those that are far off, whether thou hast driven them away. Why? Because of their trespasses, that they have trespassed against thee. Do you know that if you're in the new covenant, you never have to be concerned about him doing that to you? Doug, he will never, ever, ever drive you away from himself. You have been sealed, sister, with the Holy Spirit. You do not ever, ever, ever have to worry about being driven away. It's a completely different relationship. And the only way we can understand Daniel 9 is if we understand it in its context of the Old Covenant. O Lord, he says, to us belong confusion of faith, to our kings, our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Look at the stark contrast between God and Israel. God is righteous. God is holy. God is forgiving, merciful. God is faithful. Israel is none of those things. To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all of Israel has transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us. Do you ever have to be concerned with a curse being poured out upon you tonight, church? No. No. What will you experience if you won't experience a curse? What would you tell someone that they might experience if they're not going to ever have to be concerned about experiencing a curse? What word would you use? Discipline. Chastisement. That a loving father may chastise you to draw you back. Is there a difference between a curse and chastisement? Mm-hmm. You're my son. Let's go. Get in line. Too far out there. Come. But that's not being a curse being poured out. He is concerned about the curse that is poured out upon us, the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we sinned against him. Galatians 3. Let's run over to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Quickly, quickly, find Galatians. Go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It works. It works. Whatever you need to do for yourself, just make sure you get there. Galatians 3. Paul writing to us about justification with Abraham as the awesome example in verse number 6 of chapter number 3 of the letter to the church of Galatia. It says, even as Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Praise God, we are not under the law. So let's not put ourselves back under it. Let's not move ourselves back under it. Let's not create new laws. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident the just shall live by, read it in your Bible, faith. The law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. All of God's people say, glory to God. I do not have to wake up in bondage to a curse because I didn't do my devotions. Why? Read your Bible. Christ, having redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Do you understand tonight, church, that to move from the old covenant to the new covenant, the calamity, the evil that was poured out against Israel is now poured out against the Son of God. That the calamity, the evil that God watched over and poured out onto Israel with the Assyrians, onto Judah with the Babylonians, that same calamity or that same sovereign control over calamity, you get that? That control, David, over calamity was now poured out through the Romans on his own son. First onto Israel, Syrians. First onto Israel, Babylonians. Now, God waits through the Persian Empire, through the Greek Empire, and now the Roman Empire is raised up to pour that same calamity on his own son. That the combined attributes of justice, righteousness, and mercy combine in the gospel. Are you emphasizing this so much tonight? I had a church member in the office a few weeks ago, and I said, do you think that such and such person is saved? Will they go to heaven when they die? And he said to me, I think she's a good person. She'll be fine. And I went, what? What church have you been in? Have you been listening to anything that's ever been said from this pulpit in your entire life? What? How could you ever come to such a conclusion? There is no good in us. We are Daniel 9 in every way, shape, or form. Left to our own devices, we disobey, we rebel. We are there in every shape or form. And only those who have been delivered out of the law of Moses into the new covenant have any hope. Do you see this? So we can adore Daniel's prayer. We can love Daniel's prayer. But we do not pray Daniel's prayer. And we don't for a moment think that America is God's nation and Fayetteville is God's city. Not for even a moment. Joey, God had one city. Jerusalem. One holy mount. One promised land. Israel. Not at all. Who are we? We are Israelites living in Babylon. That's who we are. And what are we supposed to do? Buy houses, plant vineyards, get married, have children, and pray for the peace of our city. 12. Under the whole heaven hath not been done upon this Jerusalem? Come on. Aren't you exaggerating, Daniel? How in the world could you say that what happened in Jerusalem has never been happened before? Let me tell you why Daniel can say that. And it's a legitimate description in Daniel 9 when he describes what God did to Jerusalem in 586 BC. And he says, there's never been anything like this done. I'll tell you why. Because there's never, ever been a single place that God inhabited in the planet other than the temple in Jerusalem. And it was destroyed. Have other temples been destroyed? Of course. Have other buildings been destroyed? Of course. But not God's holy house. God's house was destroyed. God's people were destroyed. When the Assyrians get destroyed, no big deal. When the Babylonians get destroyed, no big deal. When the Egyptians get destroyed, no big deal. But when God's chosen people get destroyed, it is a big deal because these are God's people, and they have been carried off into captivity. And every single one of them is saying, what about the Abrahamic covenant? Remember? Remember the Abrahamic covenant? It's a big deal. You'll be my people. I'll bless those that bless you. I'll curse those that curse you. You're going to have the sands of the sea, stars of the sky. You're going to get a piece of land. It don't feel like we're under the Abrahamic covenant right now, Lord. We're not in our own land. We don't feel your blessing. And that's why Daniel 9 is such a big deal when he prays that nothing like this has ever happened to any people up to this point. And he is right. Never have God's people been destroyed like they were in 586 BC. Verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet we made not our prayer before the Lord, our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Understand thy truth. The Net Bible, providing a little bit more detail like the Amplified Bible, actually calls it a reliable moral standards. Good stuff. The Mosaic Law. Yes, we're not under the Mosaic Law, but we study it. Why do we study it? Because it is a reliable guide for moral behavior. Good stuff. Good stuff. We can learn from it. It tells us how we should live. But not because we're under it, but because it is a reliable moral guide. Established by the sovereign God of the universe as opposed to a man-made law. Yeah. Therefore, the Lord watched upon the calamity and brought it upon us. Look at that imagery. Watched upon it. There it is right there. There it is. And God is guiding it where he wants. Now, if that isn't his sovereignty, what else? There's the calamity right there. And God watched upon the calamity and God brought the calamity where he. There it is. Put it right there. Don't ever think for a moment that Satan and God are battling it out and God's down, sometimes down for the count, and then he flips him over like in a wrestling match, and he's never like that. Never. Never. Think of it like this. God uses evil to accomplish his purposes as he sees fit. He watched over the calamity. He controlled. This is my calamity. Bring it over here. Back up a little bit more. Right there. That's what he's saying. For the Lord our God is righteous. He's just. And he brought it upon the people that he delivered out of the land. The ones that he got renowned for doing it. And now because we've done wickedly, he punished us. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, turn thine anger and thy fury be turned away. If this isn't gospel propitiation, I don't know what is. This is gospel propitiation, that the wrath of God was turned upon the Son of God, and that the Son of God absorbed the wrath of God so that you and I might be recipients of grace. Now, therefore, O God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine favor upon us. Now he's praying for grace. O my God, incline thine ear and hear thine eyes. Behold our desolations, the city which is called by thy name. For we do present our supplications before thee, not because of our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. Do you understand that your Bible is very clear that if you've been a recipient of grace, it's not because of your righteousness. It's because God was gracious to you. You have no idea why. No idea why. Why me, Lord? Why? So many, me? I don't deserve this. You brought me into the new covenant. A sinner like Daniel 9, and he brought me into the new covenant. You made your face to shine upon me. Oh, Lord God, how can I repay? I will worship you until I die. I will love you until you call me home. I will serve you all the days of my life. Your law is a joy to me. You made me a recipient of grace. Oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, Lord, hearken. Defer not. Oh, my God, for thy city, for thy people are called by thy name. Do you understand that tonight, because of Jesus Christ, you are now thy people? That's you. That's me. So when we say give it up for Jesus, that's not flippant. That is a call to worship. That is a call to express gratitude. We could have been a Syrian. We could have been a Babylonian. We could have been a Canaanite. We could have been an Israelite. But instead, God chose to deliver you in the year 2000, whatever, and bring you into the light because of His great grace. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we praise you. We're thankful that the wrath was poured out against Jesus instead of us. We're thankful that our city is the holy city, the heavenly city. It's not Washington, D.C. It's not Raleigh. We have a citizenship that is in heaven. We're not under the old covenant. We're under the new covenant. And as recipients of grace in the new covenant, we don't live under the bondage of the law. We've been set free like Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress, who put down that heavy sack. Jesus told us that His burden is light. The burden He has for us, because the law, we've been freed from it. And we thank you, God. We thank you. We praise you for grace. This week, as we go and live in this fallen city, we will be very, very mindful of the fact that you have redeemed us from the curse of the law and delivered us into the everlasting kingdom of your dear Son. And because of that, we will pray, Abba Father, Jesus, friend, comforter, we love you. Do you love Him, church? We love you, Jesus. We're thankful for the grace that you showed us. Amen.